Jam. Okay, we're on the air live, June 26th, 2017. We got a special guest tonight. We got Neil Alper. He'll be on with us in a minute or so. Wanted to tell you about what we have going on here. So we're launching a new site called Live Music on Main Street. We want you to know about that. That site will be up in a couple of days. You'll be able to find out about what's going on Main Street. Not only that, you'll be able to hear some of the stuff that we've recorded live with local artists that actually record their own music and play music live on Main Street in your town. All right, we're going to bring our special guest, Neil Alper, on. Hang on a second. Hey, Neil, you with us? Neil Alper. Oh, Neil. Hang on a second. We're having some difficulties here.
Hello.
Neil, you there? Hi,
yes,
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There you go. We got you. Okay, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
Good, good. What's cooking? How's everything?
Good. It's good. It's good. So yeah. we see you're busy gigging this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your band and give us a little history lesson here, Neil. Go ahead.
Fine. Yeah, sure. It started out as a band, went to a cable TV show. Cable TV show was a little risque, so I kept getting a lot of slack and bad press and all that kind of stuff. So I'm on hiatus now from the cable TV show. We're starting up again in September. We had 800,000 people a month watching. And
that's good.
Like I said, I had to calm it down a lot. And my bandmates were getting pretty pissed at me because I wasn't putting my own band on. Because how could I put my own band on when I had Ray Manzarek from The Doors. You know, I had him on. I had several other celebrities. These people are arena people. I'm still small time compared to them. They're more recognizable. But this time around, I'm starting my show in September, and it's going to be called Living the Dream with Neil Alper. And I don't know. Look at the play places, like the stages, venues that are pretty much in New York City, stages, back lines. It's rough in the music business. It's really, really hard. You go to
There's a lot less places to play these days, I hear.
Well, there's a lot less rock and roll friendly kind of venues. It's, you know, it goes with the times. You have hip hop and that gangster and that other kind of music, but I'm pop rock. So you're sort of limited, and you start getting up in age. You don't have your friends running out to every club with you and coming to see you as much, and it's a tough haul. It's a seriously you're friendly with my cousin Lonnie, right?
Yes, that's Lonnie. Correct.
Yeah, Lonnie was out with me. We were out at a dinner one night, and he said, "Would you pay somebody to play at a place?" I said, "Depends on the place." He was pretty astounded by that answer when he said, "That's not fair to everybody else," and this and that. And, you know, I had to set him straight. I said, you know, we're living in a capitalistic society. You hit a certain age where you start losing your audience a little bit. You know, there's a lot of factors to consider. Sinatra said once, 5% is talent. The rest is connections, timing. And that sort of thing, actually. Trying to do a Wounded Warrior Project benefit, and we targeted in on one place after a year and a half. It's going to be in Brooklyn at Steeplechase Beer Gardens. It's a really big place, and it's a great stage, indoor and outdoor. We're going to have three bands there. We are waiting to announce the date. That'll probably be leaked to us by the weekend. And Neely Boy's been busy. Neely Boy's been a busy boy.
I see at one of these gigs that you're playing is you're going to give all veterans free admission.
Well, they don't give the bands anything free in New York City. They'll say, okay, you can bring a guest, maybe a wife. Anything after, we'll pay. I've done things with Wounded Warrior in the past, and not only do they get free admission, the CD I give them, I donate 50% of the band's CD to the Wounded Warrior Project, and you know it's a pet cause of mine. My uncle was a Marine down in the South Pacific, so this, you know, there's that and the whole patriotic thing which I'm into. And that's it. We're trying to go along. We're looking to do a second CD probably by September, October to start it. We're doing a video. You can go to the website. It hasn't been updated. I'm not much of a techie person, but I have a website. I left even the Resque stuff up there because basically nobody can tell you what to do yet on the internet. And it's in NeilAlpertVideo.com. It's N-E-A-L Alpert, A-L-P-E-R-T Video.com. We'll give updates of upcoming shows, et cetera, et cetera. We don't do many shows because it's pretty much to the point. I'm getting a little particular. I'm not into doing dive bars anymore or underground basements anymore. But I'm giving it my shot. One thing, you know, my girlfriend always says to me, well, what if it doesn't go your way and you don't make it? Despite that, Michael Bolton tried to help me out. He tried to get one of my songs to legendary singer, writer, producer, Nile Rodgers. And she said, what if you don't make it, you know? And I could say, I could honestly say I gave it my best shot. And I had a hell of a time going there and doing it.
You've been at this quite a bit with your music and entertainment career. When did you start this, Neil?
When I was about 15, our group was called the Slugs. We were four guys, and we tried to do a group at 14, 15. And then I looked at the people after we played a little bit here and there. I looked at the members of the band. I said, Iris, you're not as serious as I am. I said, you're going to be a doctor. Jay, you're a journalist. And the other guy was a salesman. I said, I don't see you following through. So I started a long time ago. And, you know, there's always a piece of the puzzle missing when it comes to a band. There's always that piece. There's always a player that maybe it's the wrong time for your music. There's always a piece of the puzzle. One of my players had a bad accident. One of my players left to become a guitarist in a Christian music band. He had his own agenda. He tried what he had to do. I had an accident. I was out of it for about 2.5-3 years. And learning how to walk again without a walker and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you lose time, and time goes pretty quick. One player didn't get it for about a year. I always had problems with bass players. And you never know what they're thinking. They're always off in the background. Are they happy? Are they sad? They're not moody. They're there. As long as they're there musically, I guess that's what counts. But we were doing the math the other day, the numbers, and we figured we lost about 5 years because of bass players. They come out,
Other bands have told me the same thing, that it's hard to find bass players. I wonder what. That's an interesting problem.
Well, there's a hell of a lot less bass players than guitar players. That's one. Two, you got to find the person that has the same objectives as you have. I don't want somebody. I played with people that were really excellent, but they never played the same thing twice. And I wound up calling them professional jammers, which there's nothing wrong with it. But if you have a different vision, a different goal, or an objective, it's only going to slow down the other three people in the band. And that's what I have in the band for you. There's four of us, including myself. I'm blessed to have my bandmates as my closest friends. Kent Carter is a drummer. Kent Carter had a bad car accident. He's got rods in his legs. And he comes from Rockland County. I could set my time to this guy. And David Catalano, my lead guitarist, David Catalano. He broke his hip, and he needs to fix it. but he can't because he's got to lose 100 pounds before they touch him. So I'm dealing with two. I look at those guys and I count my blessings, and they're two wonderful people. I have the music down. Now I'm taking it to not many recordings. I want to get out there. Performance. It's time for performance. Tyler looking at Dog Vinci Studios. And, I really want to do this thing. I'm looking for a female. It sounds good. I'm looking for a female. I'm looking for a female supporting vocalist that's looking to launch her career through us, sort of along the lines like Carla DeVito and Meatloaf. I'm trying to get more campy, more showy, and I'm looking for that one female. So if anybody out there is listening, NeilAlpertVideo.com. Do Neely Boy a favor. Hook him up. Anyway, what else is cooking, baby? Talk to me.
Well, I'm looking at stuff on your Facebook page here. I generally don't do politics here, but you seem to be into you seem to be on the same side of the political aisle I'm on, and I generally don't talk too much about politics on the show. But I have similar concerns that you do, and I applaud you, and we don't really need to go too much into
well,
it.
It's strange. I prefer people go to the website. Politics is a whole thing. You talk politics, mm-hmm. you can lose 50% of your audience.
Absolutely.
I didn't make up that. You know who said that? Drew Carey.
And
when I do music, it's like when people go to ball games or go to a movie. You just want to sort of bleep that. You want to bleep all that stuff out for a while. I get very
Absolutely.
Offended when I hear politicians, celebrities carrying on, making threats they're going to lose the country. I want entertain me. I don't want to hear your personal stuff.
Absolutely.
It's like religion. And it's funny, years ago, people used to ask what your religion is, and now they ask what your political affiliation is. But
yeah,
I try
absolutely.
To keep music. I just played at an opposition to my political views. I played at a bar, very opposite. We had a great time. They were great people. Went in with a smile, even though they knew who I was, and left with a handshake. And that's what I want to do. You hit a point
absolutely.
Where you just want to chill and enjoy what you're doing. And the cool
absolutely.
Thing is, if you can get people to enjoy what you're doing, that's just, that's a bonus. I like doing benefits. That makes me feel good about myself. You feel like you did something good. There's no pay. You give it your best. You give it your time. But something comes of it.
What are some of your, other than the, I know you're big with the Wounded Warriors. What are some of your other benefits you like to do? I know you're big with animals. Tell me about your, what you do in rescuing animals.
Well, I rescued my shelter girl, Layla. It said, come meet Layla at Kennedy Airport. I drove out there. She had 40 bites all over her. She was tied to in a forest. And a group of dogs attacked her every day at 3 o'clock. So the neighbors were almost setting their clocks by 3 o'clock, said, okay, there's something going on. They thought there was a dead body in the woods. The Nassau or Suffolk County, I forget which one, police went out there to check it out. They found her tied to a tree, and she had 40 bites all over her. And it was on the internet, and it was opportune because I had put my pit bull to sleep. This was 13 years ago already. She's in wonderful condition. She's truly an amazingly docile, sweet animal. I've always been an animal lover. Check this out. I saw a guy, I used to own a yellow cab, and I saw a guy hitting his dog, and he was hitting it with the leash. I was driving through Central Park, and I saw it, and the dog was lying on his belly, a shepherd. And I just drove up on the grass, and I slammed the car. I stopped about a half a foot in front of the guy. And I got out, and I had a bad attitude. And, I don't want to curse, but he told him, if he hits the dog again, I'm going to wrap the chain around his neck. And the funny part is, He was looking at me. It's my dog. I said, you want to take that chance? You hit that dog again, I'm going to wrap a chain around your neck. And he just grabbed the dog. I was upset because he probably beat the shit out of the dog when he got out of my sight. Now, the weird part of it, check this out. I had four passengers in the cab, and the meter was running while the whole thing was happening. I get back in the car. They couldn't make eye contact with me. I said, don't worry, I'll take 50 cents off or whatever it was. And I think they were afraid of me. That's how angry. You could see the veins popping out of the side of my head. And I told my old man once, my father, rest in peace, I told him a couple of times, I said, I like my dog better than I like most people. And he said, don't tell people that. They'll think you're crazy. I said, they think I'm crazy anyway, so it really doesn't make much of a difference. I'm just enjoying life. I'm very blessed. I got a second shot at life. I had a bad accident. Things changed for a few years, and now I'm back. I wasn't able to stand up and play music for about a year and a half. And
wow.
Every couple of months, I was finally got it to, I was able to stand up and play one song. Then it became 10 minutes and 8 minutes, and I've been down to about 45 minutes. It gets a little rough if I got to do two sets in a row. But thank God. Thank God gave me a second shot at life, and maybe I'm taking it.
You know, a lot of times people don't realize how short life is and how things can change in the split second. So, you know, it sounds like you're very fortunate and, you know, you have been blessed.
You feel bad for yourself after an accident. You say, why did it happen, blah, blah, blah. You know when it changes? When you go to the hospital and you see people that are so much less fortunate than yourself, people that have arms and limbs missing. So, you stop and take a deep breath and you count your blessings.
Absolutely. So you grew up in Brooklyn, is that correct?
Sheepshead Bay, I was in the same place there for a long time. And if you have to live in Brooklyn, I lived right across the street from the ocean. I would let the dog run on the beach. I would wake up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, go to the beach and sleep another 3 hours and start my day. And I did that routine for a long, except in the winter. I did that a long time. Great neighborhood. Again, if you have to live in Brooklyn, that would be the place to live. I always like where Lonnie lived. Lonnie lived up in Washingtonville for a while, but he's a Rockland County guy. And I just have a thing for, I used to just jump in my car and go to Bear Mountain, spend an hour or two there and come back. I did that many, many weekends when I was in college just to get out of the city. Right now, Neely Boy's living in Staten Island. I'm in a relationship, a wonderful girl, nice home, nice situation. I have a good car. Brooklyn, it's rough owning a car. I had, I don't know if you know what an MR2 custom is. It's like a 93 Ferrari Testarossa.
And is that the orange car that you're sitting on? I see there's
no,
an orange car that you're sitting on.
That might be. I had that, and I had the vet at the same time, except it was 2 inches lower than the vet. That 2 inches made all the difference in the world as far as getting in and getting out. Anyway, it was a devil's car. I got Neely Boy's on a restricted license now, so it was good sort of that I got rid of that one. I have a slower car now. I have the Corvette. But that's a hot car too. It's two inches higher, and that made all the difference with my lower back getting in and out. And the other one was 2 inches lower. So many times I cracked the bumper, the front part of the bumper, the air dam off. In Brooklyn, I had to replace the hood 3 times in 4 years. People back up in Brooklyn. There's no space between cars. They stop backing up when they know they hit your car. The hood 3 times in 4 years, which is a substantial amount at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
At the end of putting your hand in your pocket. Right now, I was involved with Cello Theater. that's where I get most of my celebrity friends. I've met lots of people.
I'm sorry, you're about what theater? Tell me the name of that theater again.
Chiller Theater Expo. It's on the internet. Kevin Clements is a good friend of mine. It's always in New Jersey. It's either by the Sheridan in Secaucus or there's another one. I've had so many of their performers on. I have Lita Ford. I don't know if you know her. She's from the 80s. Great guitarist. Sexy babe. Jeff Conaway from Taxi. David Carradine. Joe Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult. Neil Smith, the original drummer from Alice Cooper. It's all on the website. You know, what I'm doing now is just dropping names. But I had these people on the show. And I had the good fortune to party with and hang with them. So life has been good for me.
That's a video.
Boy.
That's a video production over there, right, in Chiller Theater?
Chiller Theater is celebrities go there. They sign autographs. It reminds me much like the sporting events. The celebrities sign autographs, take pictures with their fans. It's a big thing. John Zachary, rest in peace. I got very close with him. He was called the Friendly Ghoul. Zachary. He had passed away 2 years ago.
Zachary's Theater. I remember that. Zachary's Theater,
John,
right?
Zachary. Yep. He was my go-to guy when I went there, him and Kevin. And just so many celebrities there. You just remind me, I have to apologize to a couple. But I got outrageous. I didn't pick a fight. They picked the fight with me. And I got pretty nasty. You know, it's just, you know who Linda Blair is, I assume.
Yeah, the lady from The Exorcist.
Right. I was filming in her direction with my camera guy. She sent over somebody, and Miss Blair doesn't want you aiming the camera in her direction.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's public domain. So at the end of the affair, I'm packing up, and there's a woman honking me in one of those SUV kind of vehicles. She's honking and yelling at me, and I looked, it was her. I just didn't know what this. I was annoyed. I mean, I forgot about it. I filmed on the other wall, so she started yelling at me, and I referred to her past indiscretions, and she got pretty pissed off. I have to apologize to her. And, hey, shit happens. It could be worse. It could be a lot worse. She's gonna beat the hell out of me.
Yeah, some celebrities don't like to be filmed off the stage or off of the set because I guess they think you're the paparazzi or, you know, you're interfering with their privacy.
Yeah, right, but it's a networking event. Just because I'm not paying you $25 to take a picture of you, I still had rights inside that tent. I also had what's his name? You know who Burt Young is?
Played in Rocky.
Rocky, right, he was the brother-in-law. He saw me filming somebody, and I shouldn't have been filming. So I sent over my friend Barbara Hayes, who, my God, she just passed away last week. Rest in peace.
Oh,
Barbara,
I'm
really
sorry.
Fine person. She was my go-between. It's I didn't like walking up to anybody to do an interview. She would do the interview, ask to do an interview for me. And Burt Young turns around and says, I don't like that Howard Stern wannabe. He said, I saw him filming. And she said, but he's really a good guy. I don't give a shit. I don't like him. So I didn't want her groveling for me. So I said, come on, let's go. I said, he's ready to pack it in. He's not a Laurence Olivier. He's no Laurence Olivier. He's a little guy, but he started to charge at me, like, oh, yeah, I'll show you Laurence Olivier. And, I started laughing. I'm looking at him, what are you going to do to me? And he's going like this to his friends, hold me back.
Too bad you didn't have the camera then. You could have a nice little scene there.
Yeah, but I pissed him off enough where I had to go I have to apologize in front of a couple of people next time he's in town. That was just to keep the peace, pretty much.
Yeah, it's good not to burn bridges. And you know, when people see you apologizing and making things right, you you're the bigger man. So that's a good thing to do.
I said something that's so politically incorrect on TV.
No, no.
I got so many people so upset. I was standing near a sign by the subway, and it said, "Speak English." So I went into a tirade. I said, "You're goddamn right. I don't like pushing one to speak English. It's always English." So the Hispanic Society on 14th and 8th, if I recall, they were calling up. I was on 7 networks on 41 channels. So they called up the network in Manhattan.
This is on cable, right? Is that cable?
It's cable access. It's MNN, Manhattan Neighborhood Network. So they were calling up and they said, "I'm prejudiced, I'm racist, and all this bad stuff." So I said, "Well, what do they want me to do?" They said, "Well, they'd like an apology." I said, "That's tough." And they said, "Well, you know, it's not tough because they're calling here and we're not your personal secretary. Would you do us a favor and just address this so we don't have to hear about this anymore?" So I tried to be smart about it, and I said, "Okay, I'll do it." I asked my co-host at the time, Diane McCarthy, beautiful babe, big boobs, always in a bikini, like real like Playboy-esque kind of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought her with me. She said, "What are you taking me here for?" I said, "Because when we pull up in the limo," I said, "you're going to come out of the car first, and you're going to see that they're going to change." I said, Neil, "I'm not touching anybody. I'm telling you now." She said, I'm not letting them." I said, "They'd be close enough to shake your hand and maybe smell your perfume. Don't worry." She said, "Neil, there's 15 people standing in front of the door waiting for you to get out. I'm afraid." I said, "Nothing can happen. There's a cop outside too." We go in, we open the door. These guys come down the steps. They expect a big argument. And lo and behold, I pushed her out first. She wore a bra like 3 sizes too small to accommodate her boobs. Pushed her out, and everybody was all smiles, walked into the auditorium with her in front of me. And that was a pretty cool move. I look back and I think to myself, that was wise. But apologize, meant no grief. I play with Spanish people. You're wonderful. We are the world. Let me get out of here. But it worked. They took it, they shook hands, and that was that.
There you go. You know, sometimes you're better off, you know, just burying the hatchet and let it be where it was and keep it there, you know? Tell us about Otto Shrunken Head. You got something coming up over there on the 27th,
tomorrow,
right?
Yeah, tomorrow. It's a famous place in, 14th and Avenue B, I believe it is. It's a famous place for writers, music writers pop in there. It's a small venue. I don't even think there's a stage, and I really, the only boy likes the stages. But it's a popular place. It's Otto Shrunken Head. Frank Wood, an old friend of mine, used to run it. I'm not sure who's there now, but it's tomorrow evening at 11 o'clock, Otto Shrunken Head. And it's all over Facebook. And I tell my people, actually, just go to Neil Alpert Band Show, forget the rest of the stuff. I got sucked into the politics. When somebody asked me a question, and I knew so much about the topic, I started out with 12, 15 people that were music friends of mine. When I answered somebody's question, all of a sudden, this one sent a friend, this one friended me. I think I'm like at 5,000 people now. And it's not what it was set up for. It was set up to talk about entertainment, music, songs. And I suggest they go to Neil Alpert Band Show. Forget the politics. I don't want to talk politics with anybody. That Facebook page, of course.
Yeah, I stay away from politics because you never know whose feelings you're going to hurt and so on.
Look, my problem is, and it's going to sound really bad, I know probably too much for my own good. And what it does do is people that don't share your thoughts, values, or principles get upset, even if you're right.
I agree. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
I agree.
So why
that's
go,
why I stay away from
so
it.
Why go, yeah, why go down that road, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, I don't want to know your religion or what you think of mine, really. But,
yeah.
Plus,
I think people people want an escape from that. There's too much of that right now, and people want to escape from it, and music's a good escape, so that's kind of why we stay away from it.
Well, it's like the Super Bowl. When Beyonce injects her political views, people want to escape, whether it be sports or entertainment. You know, it's like you start shoving views in people's faces. They tend to get upset.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're playing with the Neil Albert Band then tomorrow night. What are you playing? Are you playing your original music tomorrow? Are you do any covers? How do you work your show?
No, I'm strictly an original band. Strictly.
Okay.
Which gets a little testy with some players and stuff, but I've written about 60 songs. Out of 60 songs, 20 of them are ready to take on the road and go. I'd rather have those kind of songs than songs that mean something to me, but not to anybody else. Which is funny because my guitar player, David Catalano, he wanted to put one of his songs in, and it's a beautiful slow ballad, except I told him, I said, we only do one ballad per set. He says, oh, yeah, why? Who said so? Shut him the hell up. I said, Paul McCartney. He says, really? I said, he has the same exact attitude I do. I said, if you're going to play a ballad in a club and there's couples, maybe they'll just dance to it, but maybe they'll just drink and you'll lose it. The momentum dies. I said, it's like I went to see Rod Stewart a few years back. He opened up with Maggie May. And I said, holy shit. He gave his biggest song right out there. I said, that was foolish. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, look at this. I'm critiquing Rod Stewart. I said, he has about another dozen songs. But hitting him with his big song like that, he got him right between the eyes. He had the audience eating out of his hand within the first 10 seconds.
Who are some of your favorite artists that you've either played with or you aspire to?
That I appreciate very
yes.
much. Moody Blues. I like concept story bands, deep things. I like Moody Blues. I like Pink Floyd a lot, which I saw Pink Floyd years ago. Imagine 2 days in a row by Carnegie Hall, I saw Pink Floyd.
I saw them at Roosevelt Stadium. Remember Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey
that's
City?
That's in the island.
Jersey City. Jersey City, right there on Hudson, Route 440 in Jersey City. It's been gone a while. Right now there's condos there, but that was an old stadium. I saw a bunch of bands over there.
If I recall, you're in the Jersey Shore, right?
I live in Jersey Shore, but that's up in Hudson County. Well, it was of Jersey
how
City.
How did you meet Lonnie?
I met Lonnie online. I met him online. We friended each other, and then you know we followed each other for a while. I did a couple of interviews with him, also with his organization. To be
he was doing young artists.
I think he's still doing that.
They were doing it at a motorcycle museum for a while. Don't recall what happened to it. I haven't. One day I'm going to check it out. Lonnie's a really good guy. Lonnie's dad used to be like a crooner kind of a singer, and his grandmother was a concert pianist. Violin player, and his cousin sang with the Cameos. They had some kind of a doo-wop song. It's a little before my time doo-wopping, but Lonnie is very into it for a non-musician. And you know his son is phenomenal. I listen to his son. It's a little different style than what I do, but talented drummer, plays guitar, sings. nasty, talented young kid. He's all of, I think, about 22, 25, you know, so it's in the family, it's in the blood.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lonnie was doing Live to Create project, where he was giving a stage to young artists, like you said, at that motorcycle museum.
Yeah, well, when I heard he was doing that, I just wrote him an email. I said, I'm really proud of you. It's a worthy thing, you know. It's some kids find solace and peace playing basketball or baseball, and some kids like music. Whatever it is, they're off the street, they're practicing, they're trying to hone their craft. I think it's a very noble thing he's doing.
Yeah, music is a mind expanding endeavor. You know, some musicians call. I'm sorry.
It's the international language.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the wise way of summing up music. It's international.
Absolutely. Have you ever played in other countries, Neil?
No. I got invited to do some kind of a political fundraiser for a sheriff out in Arizona. I got invited to do it, couldn't get my plans together with them. I try to stay tri-state, actually. Actually, to me, if it's past New York, it's a distance. It's just, you're hitting the masses. My cable show in Brooklyn had 450,000 monthly viewers. Staten Island, 250,000. Queens, 400,000. Manhattan, 680,000.
Wow.
Crammed into that small little island. So I'm into the, if I'm not making money, I want exposure. And
now, was that on Time Warner? Was that on Time Warner or RCN? What was that on?
It's so many different networks. It was in BCAT. It was on Time Warner. It's on Verizon. It's QPTV. Staten Island, it was CTV. Bronx is the BronxNet. Right now I'm on hiatus, though, from the cable show. Like I said, God gave me a second chance, and I'm taking it. The band is hot. We're starting to build a following, and Neely Boy's doing it. He's got a chance to do something he loves, and who's got it better than me?
That's great, Neil. That's great. You know, it's really important to be in a place that you're enjoying yourself and doing something that you love. That keeps you young.
Well, I have. There's so many people that had to give their dreams up. They got married. That's the first nail in the proverbial coffin. Then they had kids. That's another nail in the coffin for music. But I managed to not do those things, and I always put the music first. And, you know, it's kind of good. I never wanted the responsibility of kids. And I said it doesn't go well with music. Most musicians, if I had to say there's an art form that lacks responsibility, out of all the genres of entertainment or creativity, I would say musicians. I love musicians. They're among my best friends, but when it comes to being responsible, there's a lot to be desired there.
I know. You're absolutely right. I think because it stems from a life of freedom. You know what I mean? I think music gets people into the mode that, you know, they want to be free. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to be tied down to stuff. I think that might have to do with it.
Yeah, and I like to never. I don't want to ever say anybody. I don't want to discriminate against age or anything else, actually. But I try not to deal with many guys in music that are under 30. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because Neely Boy was a guy under 30. If I was heading into the studio and I saw somebody in the street and I picked up an on the way late, so much for the studio.
There you go.
I just you know, that it comes with youth. You're a lot more irresponsible. So I try to make my cutoff dealing with musicians. I'd like them to be at least 30. Sounds funny, but I am I know precisely what I talk about when it comes to this.
Yep, no, I agree with you. Hey, let me ask you: Do you ever think about getting, you know, bringing bands together and getting a band started? You know, getting, you know, giving them guidance. You ever do stuff like that?
Right now, there's so much on the plate between
mm-hmm.
shooting a video, preparing the next CD, doing these live shows. The benefit for Wounded Warrior is, like I told you, we're waiting to announce the date. These
mm-hmm.
things leave me a couple of hours at the end of the day, and I don't work. This is all I do, and it only leaves me a few hours. And, you know, it reminds me of a Clint Eastwood movie, A Good Man Knows His Limitations.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you also have to get time to rest in between all of what you're doing, so... So you sound very busy.
But when you get busy, you know where it really hurts? The writing. I find that writing, first of all, good writing is rewriting over and over until you get it right. But I found that writing is what takes the most time. Now, when you have gigs and you want to play and you want to do a video and you got a cable TV show in the works, it just leaves the creative thing, the new tunes, the finish. I have a song that's great. I need two more sentences, and I got a really sweet song. Just happens to be a ballad. I don't want to work on or take any more ballads on the road, like I told you before. But here I am, two sentences, and I have a complete song. I haven't been able to work two sentences out for the last few months. So, again, getting back to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you run out of time somewhere.
Absolutely. I have the same problem. There's just never enough time to put everything that's in your head onto a piece of paper, and then not only get it on paper, then to execute it, and then to refine it, and then to do it, and then to, you know, get feedback
and to do it again.
Then
to film the cable show, and then to edit the cable show, and storyboard the cable show, put the music score on the cable show. You know what they say? They say you can't rush art. They say that for a reason. If you start rushing it, you water down your product.
Editing takes forever. Editing takes forever, I find.
It's not for everybody. See, I have friends that like doing it. My friend C, who got me started, Cliff Norquist, he got me started with cable TV. He's a big boy. He weighs 635 pounds.
Oh my goodness. He likes
editing because he'd sit there for hours at a time. I think he only got up to take a water pill. Anyway, he's lost 100 pounds since then, but he liked it. He found it entertaining. And you know what? I know people that treat it as an art form as well.
Oh, absolutely. You got to have good editors. You have to have people with a good eye. You have to have people know when this needs to be put into this place and taken out and, you know, thrown away.
You could have the greatest thing in the world, but in the editing process, if the wrong things wind up on the editing floor, it's pointless.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it.
Absolutely. It's a hard business to make money in. There's so much talent. There's so much talent. There's so few places to play. It's almost like there's only so many first base positions available, you know?
Well, my old man hit the nail on the head. He said years ago, he said, what kind of music? Where do you want to play? I said, well, I'd like musicians to play my songs. Otherwise, I'm going to play my songs. He said, well, you have to play. And there's validity to this remark. He said, you have to be in a wedding band, a symphony orchestra, chamber music, he said, or a great, great, what was this, a copy band, where you almost sound like the original artist to make any kind of money. And he told me that years ago, and I didn't listen to that at all. I was on my own mission. But now, you know, thinking back, there's a lot of validity to that. It even gets more precise when you're looking for certain players in your band.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get a million guitar players. I'll get lots of drummers. But try getting a keyboard player. It's a little rough getting a keyboard player. Why should he want to play in the Neil Albert band when he could go to a wedding? There's such a demand for keyboard players. Keyboard players could make it sound like a vocal choir. It could make you sound like you have a chorus of violins in the background. They call the piano, keyboards, the master instrument for a reason. So to find a keyboard player that doesn't want to charge you, that's a whole different story. Hey, I'm going music talking again, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would agree with that.
No, that's what this program's all about, music, Neil. All about music, all about artists, about the artist's history. You know, we have the artist tell the story. That's what we do. I mean, you know, and that's exactly what you're doing. Exactly what the show's about.
Oh, I got a wild story for you. My uncle Andy, that's Lonnie's dad, and Andrew Alpert, he's just decided he wanted to take up bass at 81 years old.
Well, no
kidding. So the early boy got him a bass, got him an amplifier, and said, go do it. But isn't it, it's sort of nice that at that age that you want to do something else or you want to get creative. And imagine playing bass after all these years. At 81 years old, he's taking it up.
Keep your mind sharp. Get you off thinking on something new, and it's very cool.
Yeah,
express
emotions. It's a release. It's to me when I play something, and I'm hot. And I look down and I see people tapping along or moving. It can almost salivate. It's like a high. It's a great high. It's not going to fuck up me or my head up later on. It's not going to give me a stroke or brain damage. It's a wonderful, wonderful high. It truly is.
You ever see people mouthing the words to your songs? That must be a real thrill.
Or... My friend freaked me out one day. I hear a car horn honking, and I hear my song blasting. He has the top down in his car, and I hear it blasting. And it was sort of like a tease. I said, wow, somebody picked it up on one of the stations. Nah, he had a CD, and he was playing one of his songs. A funny story. A couple of years back, I was riding through Coney Island, and I was coming from Seagate, which is a good neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're in a horrible neighborhood. There was a black guy hitchhiking, and he was so wet that I was watching the water drip off his face. So I picked him up. He was listening to my tunes. Anyway, 3 or 4 months later goes by. And a long time ago, they had these nickel bag bodegas, I call them. And you find an abandoned building, you slip $5 in for a nickel bag of pot. And sometimes they take your money and run. Sometimes they give you a nickel bag of pot. Sometimes you got crap. But the funny thing is, I knocked on the door. I said, nickel bag man. And he started singing my song.
Okay.
I said, wait a minute.
Funny.
I'd say, wait a minute. The song was called The Papers. All of a sudden, he's going, oh, man, I know you. He goes, serve the papers, serve the papers. I said, holy shit, who's behind that wall? He said, 6 months ago, you picked me up hitchhiking. And he says, and that silly song, I can't get the lyric out of my head, which happens to be the best compliment you can give a songwriter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, he got caught up with the hook of the song, but... I just couldn't imagine who was on the other side of the wall. Sometimes it really is a small world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You run into a lot of people that has crossed your path before, and you almost wonder, hey, was this planned? You know, it's an interesting, life is an interesting journey. All right, Neil. I'm glad we caught up on the air here. I know we've had many, many off-air conversations, which I've always enjoyed, and I felt it was time to get you on the air. And tell you what,
I'm glad. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was glad to be here. I enjoyed our little chat, and I look forward to meeting you someday. Actually.
Yeah, I would like to do that. I'd like to actually come out and get out your way and actually see you perform, or you know, just hang out with you for a little bit. I'm interested in seeing some of your shows.
I'm going to keep you posted. I'll keep you posted on the better venues when something comes up, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds great. Why don't you, before you go, why don't you tell the folks about
Neil Alpert Video dot NeilAlpertVideo.com. NEAL AlpertVideo.com. Looking to meet new friends, new Facebook people. It's just, hey, again, I'm a lucky boy. Nelly boy has a great life and he loves what he does.
There you go. Can't ask for more than that, Neil. All right, buddy.
It was a pleasure talking to you. It was a pleasure as always. You have a great evening.
Thanks for coming on, Neil. All right.
Thank you,
Neil Alpert. All right. So get out and see. You're welcome. You're welcome very much. I'm sure everybody enjoyed this. All right. Get out and see Neil Alpert, the Neil Alpert Band. Go over to his website, NeilAlpertVideo.com. So we're gonna pull the plug on the show tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 9:30. You know, I always plan on writing down who's going to be on tomorrow, but I always forget. So I don't know. Sorry to say this, and I'm always saying this. I don't know who's on tomorrow, but we have a show at 9:30. So we run late on Tuesdays. We start at 9:30 instead of 8 o'clock. But be with us tomorrow night. We'll have another fun show. Keep this in mind. Get out and see some live music. Don't drink and drive. Support your local musicians. This is Al Fink. Get on to our new website, livemusiconmainstreet.com. And we will be back tomorrow. This is Al Fink. Take care. BNCLive.com.